Well, again, we just would add a personal word of welcome to each and every one that's gathered with us tonight. It's good to be back in the church building, and it's good to have you here for the preaching of the gospel. Now, I want to again thank Colin for leading this morning, for Gordon that has led this evening, and again to Morris for his invitation to come and to share with you both morning and evening this Lord's Day. Now, by way of preaching the gospel this evening, I want to read three portions from the Word of God, each of which you'll find in Luke's gospel. Firstly, we want to read in Luke's gospel and in chapter 14. Luke's gospel and chapter 14. Luke's Gospel in chapter 14, and we'll read together, please, from verse number 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Turn over a page to chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And this time we'll read together from verse number 11. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Turn over one more page to chapter 16. Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. Luke 16, and this time we'll read together from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we trust indeed that God will bless the public reading of his word this evening. You know, as I left the building this morning, and as I jumped into the car and as I made my way home, I realized that I had read this morning from the Word of God, or at least referred to Mark's Gospel, and we thought there concerning a great storm. A great storm. And you know, by the time I had made my way home to cook, around about lunchtime, these three consecutive chapters from Luke's Gospel had come into my mind. Luke's Gospel in chapter 14, we've read there, and we've read there concerning a great supper. Luke's Gospel in chapter 15, we read there concerning the prodigal, and we read concerning him that he was a great way off. And then as we turn the pages over one more time this evening, we find this rich man, and he lifts his eyes in torments in hell. And it says concerning him that there's a great gulf fixed. A great gulf that is fixed. You know, as we look at this Gospel of Luke, we see that it's the longest out of the four Gospels, with its 24 chapters, over 1,100 verses. And you know, this Gospel, along with the book of the Acts, it makes up the largest amount of writing by one writer in our New Testament. Not only that, but Luke's Gospel is a Gospel that uses over 300 words that are not used anywhere else in our Bible. Indeed, there are words that appear in Luke's Gospel and they only appear once. We could think of the word Calvary. Think of the word gulf that we've even read tonight. You know, this book, it was written by a physician. You know, as we read it and as we read some of the stories in it, we can see that there is a medical background to the things that he says. Someone with a fever, it appears to be a great fever. We read it concerning that leper in chapter 5, and it says there that he was a man full of leprosy. But you know, as we look at this Gospel, this word great that I have read this evening, it appears 38 times. In chapter 1, it says that he shall be great, as it refers to John the Baptist. In chapter 1 again, in verse 58, it speaks about great mercy. As that announcement is made to the shepherds in chapter 2, verse 10, we see there great joy. Great famine, great fever that we've already mentioned. Chapter 5, when we get there we brought across a great multitude of fishes. It says in chapter 7 regarding great faith. In chapter 10 about a great harvest. As we skip on towards the end, we see great earthquakes, great glory. As we consider our Savior, and as Philip has started us off tonight, straight to the cross. But ere the Savior got to the cross, he went through Gethsemane's garden. And what do we read there? We read concerning him about those great drops of blood falling to the ground. In chapter 23, we read about a great company of people. And you know, the gospel finishes just as it starts. The tail end of the chapter that we read from this morning, again, we're back. As we think concerning Christ's ascension, and it says, again, great joy. You know, as we come and as we look at these three greats right in the center of the book, the great supper of chapter 14, the prodigal that was a great way off in chapter 15, and this great gulf fixed in chapter 16. You know, there are others, they would tell you that these three consecutive chapters, they're concerning a feast, a great supper. They're concerning a famine. It says concerning the prodigal that when he was in the far country, that no man gave unto him, and that he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And then concerning this chapter 16, as it refers to hell, not only is there a feast and a famine, but it reminds us that there is also a fire. You know, we thought this morning concerning the Savior's words, every word that I have read in your hearing tonight came from the lips of the Savior himself. I wonder, dear friend, as you're found under the sound of our voice in the gospel meeting tonight, I trust that that Spirit of God will move and will speak right into your heart tonight. Just as you hear my voice, that it might be the words coming right from God the Father himself. And that tonight, that you might realize that that awful problem of sin, it needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be dealt with now. You know, the last time we were here, we did indeed look at the prodigal as well. We preached the gospel from four I wills. We thought of that rich farmer in Luke's gospel that said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. We thought of the prodigal that he said, I will arise and go to the Father. We turned to the next gospel, and in chapter 14, we read the words of the Savior again, where he says, I will come again. And then we concluded with the words of Thomas, who said that unless he seen the nail prints, he said, I will not believe. But this evening, dear friend, I want to leave these three chapters of Luke's gospel in your hearing. And I trust that tonight, before you leave the building, that there'll be none under any illusion under the sound of my voice tonight. What it would mean to come into the meeting tonight as a sinner in the sight of God, and to walk out through the door and out in, to enter into another week without those sins being forgiven. You know, I want to start in chapter 15 tonight. And I want to think about this prodigal that was a great way off. And you know, why is it that he was a great way off? Is it that I think that he was a great way off? No, dear friends, I told you already tonight that all the words that I read tonight have come from the lips of the Savior. And the Savior says concerning the prodigal that he was a great way off. Dear friend, tonight, if you're here tonight and you haven't got a happy day experience, If you're here tonight and you can't look back to a time when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and as your personal Saviour, can I tell you tonight that you're a great way off? Dear friend, tonight you're found on that broad road that leads to destruction. Your back's towards God. You know, dear friend, tonight maybe you're come in and maybe you say, Nigel, I'm a very upstanding member of the community. You just don't understand. During the lockdown, I was running here, there, and everywhere, getting groceries for my next door neighbour and running to the chemist to bring tablets to this one and that one and the other one. Dear friend, tonight, the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that this salvation is not obtained by works. For Paul indeed wrote to the church at Ephesus and he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, dear friend, tonight, the mortal that stands before you is only a sinner saved by grace. No, dear friend, I thank God every day for the fact that I was brought up in a Christian home. My father wasn't overly interested in my education. My father was only interested in my salvation. You know, I remember on many an occasion telling my father that I had exams at school the next day if there maybe was a series of gospel meetings on. Didn't matter one jot. Get dressed. We're going to the meeting. Dear friends, tonight I thank God for that every day. Brought up in a home, sent to Sunday school, just like Philip's little boy, taken to the meetings before I could walk myself, sung to sleep by the songs of Zion. What about you tonight, dear friend? Maybe just like me, you have had all of those privileges, but yet tonight you're still found in your sins. I don't need to come to tell you tonight concerning the fall that happened in Eden's garden. I don't need to tell you tonight concerning the very fact that there's no difference, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But dear friend, tonight I wonder, have you just dropped into the meeting tonight? I wonder, is there some, and they're maybe listening over the internet, and they wouldn't want anybody to know that they're trying to inquire after this great salvation. I wonder, dear friend, would you stop tonight? And would you take stock? As we move out of lockdown, and as things are starting to go back to some kind of normal, I implore upon you tonight, dear friend, if lockdown has slowed you down, if lockdown has given you time to think concerning that precious soul that is within your bosom, that soul, dear friend, tonight that will live the lifetime of God, which is forever, in one of two places, I trust that tonight that you'll be wise. You might well be like the prodigal. As it were, tonight you might well be in the far country. Maybe there are places you be, young sinner friend in the meeting tonight. Maybe at the weekend there are places you go and mommy and daddy know nothing about it. Maybe there are habits that you have taken up. And maybe tonight you're ashamed of the very fact that you're involved in them. Can I remind you tonight, dear friend, that all of these things, in a day in the future, if your sins aren't forgiven, will be brought to your attention. What do we read? We read, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." Dear friend, tonight these sins, they're serious. You realize that they're blocking heaven's door to you. No, I can look back to a time, the Blue Door Sunday School in Cookstown, how that it brought it home to me that there is a city bright, that's heaven. And closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth, shall ever enter. And you know, friend, tonight, if we were to go up Lurgan Street tonight and to stop a passerby and ask them, where do you intend to spend eternity? They would tell you that they intend to spend it in heaven. They may turn round and they may tell you that they hope to get there by their works. They may tell you that they hope to get there by their paying into a church, by their attending some place of worship and their prayers. But you know, all intend one day to be in heaven. But you know, that sin that is within their lives, it's nearly like a taboo subject that you don't mention. But dear friend, tonight, if that sin of yours isn't dealt with at Calvary, it'll be dealt with in Luke 16 on the wrong side of that great gulf that is fixed. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, would you be wise? I wonder, would you be like the prodigal and would you realize that you're perishing with hunger? Would you realize tonight that at the Father's house there's bread enough and to spare? I wonder tonight, we challenge the saints of God this morning just like Peter. As the Savior said to him in the midst of the storm, come. I wonder, sinner friend, tonight, would you not come? Would you not come back from the far country tonight? Would you not come confessing your sins and realizing that there's enough in the death of the Savior to wash those sins away? You know, what sort of a welcome would you get? You know, if you were to come back tonight, you'd get the best robe, the garment of salvation. You'd get that ring on your finger, the new relationship with God. You know, you'd be given those shoes for your feet. No longer a slave to sin, but a free man. What about it tonight, dear friend? Is the draw of the far country too much? I take it a step further. What are you selling your soul for tonight? Is it the high stool at the weekend? Is it the football matches on a Saturday? Is it that partner in life that you have your eyes set upon? Is it that next step on the promotion ladder at work? I trust that you'll put your house in order tonight. That you'll take stock. And that tonight you might be like the prodigal. That you might realize that you're afar off. But that tonight you might say, I will arise and go to the Father. The clock's going to beat us. We're going to go to Luke 14 next. How is it that these sins that we have committed in the far country, how is it that they can be forgiven tonight? Dear friend, tonight, what does Luke 14 remind us about? It reminds us about a great supper. You know, any of the ladies here tonight that do a wee bit of entertaining from time to time, they know that to go and to sit down around a table with a full spread, there's a cost that is indeed connected to that. Dear friend, tonight, that great supper, if the great way off reminds us of sin, the great supper reminds us about salvation. Can I say to you tonight, dear friend, you would be wise if you would just accept that invitation of the Savior tonight. What did he say? He said in Luke 14 and verse number 17, come, for all things are now ready. You know, dear friend, tonight I'm not telling you that from today, the 9th of August 2020, that you need to clean up your life and you need to do this or you need to do that. This isn't, dear friend, something that you're going to grow into. This isn't something that you're going to work towards. Dear friend, tonight you could have come into the meeting a sinner on that downward road. And dear friend, you could go out through the door tonight singing the praise of God for the knowledge of sins forgiven. Just as simple as that. You know, I remember getting out of bed on a Lord's Day morning over 30 years ago, being convicted concerning my sin, brought up in a Christian home, only a 50 pence debtor, but yet I would have deserved to have been in that awful place called hell. You know, just in a moment in time, around about 8:30 in the morning, I just realized that the work was finished. You know, dear friend, tonight these people were invited. They were invited to a great supper. They weren't asked to bring anything with them. They were told to come, for all things are now ready. How is it, as I've already said, there are so many, they think they're going to make it into heaven by their praying or their paying, by their charity work, by their good deeds. Dear friend, tonight we thought this morning as well concerning the Savior. Those words that he cried upon Calvary when he said, "It is finished." You know, I don't know what the cost was of this great supper. But dear friend, tonight salvation that is an offer to you, it's free tonight. All you have to do is to accept it. You know, the Savior left the Father's side. He came into this scene of time. His birth was announced, as I've already said, and it was to bring great joy. You know, that one that came, that one that was born that he would die. Wonder, dear friend, tonight, have you ever stopped to consider Calvary? Have you ever stopped to realize that the Savior that hung upon that cross, he was the only begotten Son of God? God emptied heaven, as Philip sang in one of his songs. Found that one that was willing to be Savior. What about it tonight, friend? The Savior came with that one object in his mind. So even at an early age, he could rebuke his parents as he said, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business." He knew that he was heading to Calvary. He knew that he would be taken in the garden. He knew all that would befall him at the hands of men, as they would buffet him, as the foul spittle of man would run down his face, as they plucked the hairs from his cheeks, as they would strip him, as he another time would tell people concerning that Roman lash, that torture that many's a man didn't survive. But yet the Savior bore it all. All for you and all for me. When it was done, he made his way without the gate. Bearing his cross, they had taken so much out of him, he was hardly able to carry it. They compelled one to take it out. Can I take you to Calvary tonight? Can I show you that cross laid out on the ground? Those Roman soldiers, as they took him, the Word of God reminds us about a lamb led to the slaughter. I believe the Savior just laid himself out upon the cross. Those soldiers, I believe, would have been hammering those nails in disbelief at how easy it was. I would say it was a different matter as they nailed those malefactors to the cross. Their language, their kicking, maybe their spitting at the soldiers. The Savior laid himself out upon that cross. Wonder, have you ever walked past a building site on a nice summer's day? It's nearly a thing of the past with air tools. But have you ever seen a joiner putting a roof on? Have you ever heard the nails being hammered in? Next time you hear it, friend, just consider that that was what was happening as the Savior was nailed to the cross upon Calvary. Nailed by the hands and by the feet. Then that cross is taken and dropped into its socket in the ground. And there, dear friends, he suffered. And he bled. And he died. For you. And for me. A great supper. What a great provision that was made. What a great price was paid. That crimson tide. We thought concerning that soldier this morning that would come. After he had cried in triumph, it is finished. As he would plunge that spear into the Savior's side. That precious blood was shed. Not only a great provision or a great price, but I present to you tonight a great person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, tonight a great way off that sin that's barring heaven's door. A great supper, that great provision. Maybe you'll not accept it tonight. Maybe you've married a wife and therefore you cannot come. Maybe you've bought some of these other things, a piece of ground. Or maybe it's the animals on the farm and it's keeping you back tonight. Oh, that you would throw it all to the side. What will it mean to have it? And as we move on, as we come to our last text tonight, what will it mean to have all those things and to be on the wrong side of this great gulf that is fixed? You know, we could have thought, we've already referred to Eden's garden and the fall. We could consider there a gulf that was formed. What does it say in the last verse of chapter 3 of Genesis? It said, so God drove out the man. Separation. Luke 16, we see a great gulf fixed. A gulf that is fixed. Praise God, tonight I can come to Lurgan. And I can tell you about a gulf that's fathomed tonight. How's that? I'm glad I can come and tell you about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul write to Timothy and say? He says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Dear friend, tonight, that one who was truly God, that one who indeed became truly human, that one is able to put his hand into the hand of an offended God tonight. He's able to put his hand into the hand of an offending sinner tonight. And dear friend, he's able to reconcile them. And just as those hands would be stretched to come between the two, would it not remind you of those arms that were stretched out as he was nailed to the cross upon Calvary? Time's truly going to beat us. You know, I had thought concerning this rich man in Luke 16. I'd thought simply in verse 21 about the crumbs of his table. We could consider the cry of his torment in verse 24. You know, we could see the clarity of his thoughts. You know, he said that he was in a place of torment. I am tormented in this flame. Sinner friend, tonight, if you just ignore Luke 14 tonight and this great supper, and you choose tonight to walk out through the door and to make your way home without the Savior, should anything happen to you on the way home tonight, should anything befall you during the night hour, if you never open your eyes in time again, dear friend, the awful reality is that you could lift your eyes being in torment. What about it tonight? know, this man, the curtain is drawn back and we're allowed to look into hell tonight. This man would have been happy enough to have taken a drop of water from the dirty finger of a beggar to cool his tongue, tormented in this flame. Oh, that you were wise tonight. We see the clarity of his thoughts. That would tell me tonight, dear sinner friend, if you find yourself in that awful place, that those times that you sat upon your mother's knee and she maybe poured into your hearing John 3:16 concerning a God that loved the world. Maybe you'll remember sitting at the feet of a Sunday school teacher who taught you all of those well-known verses. Maybe you'll find yourself in hell, and upon your memory will be the form of a mother or a father bowed at the side of a bed, praying that you might be saved. Oh, dear friend, tonight would you not be wise? Would you not be wise? The Savior's calling you tonight. And with this, I'm going to close. The Savior says, come, for all things are now ready. You know, we sometimes sing, Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. But he's washed me white as snow. Will you not accept him tonight? What did Paul write to the church at Corinth? He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to leave you the words of a little poem as I close the meeting tonight. You know, maybe you think that you're time enough yet. Maybe you think the men have been standing in that pulpit, Nigel, for 20 or 30 years and I have listened to this. I have listened to the fact that I could die at any moment. I have listened to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ could return to the air tonight and opportunity would be gone. And sure, it never has happened yet. Dear friend, sometime, time will run out. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon shall I find in travelling on, time gone, and face eternity begun, time done. Friends, tonight I leave you with my 3 points. Luke 15 tells us, the Savior's words tell us of the sinner that he's a great way off. But we've no need to stay there, because in Luke 14 he told us to come, for all things are now ready concerning that great supper. But dear friend, tonight, if you stay in the far country, not only will you be separated from him for time, but you'll be separated from him for all eternity. And one day you will indeed lift up your eyes being in torment. And you will indeed remember that there's a great gulf fixed. No way back. Friend, tonight be wise. Turn to the Savior. Just like that rough Philippian jailer. Tonight just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. We'll just close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our Father, we bow in thy presence and we give thee thanks again for the privilege that has been ours another day to spend time around the Word of God. And our Father, we just come again and we give thee thanks for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the finished work of Calvary. We thank thee, our Father, for that one that left the splendor of heaven with that one object in his mind that he would go to the cross, and there that he would finish the work that the Father gave him to do. And so we just come now and we give thee thanks for every blessing, for the health and strength that allows us to be gathered in this way. And we just commend each and every one gathered out this evening into thy care. Pray that thou would keep thy protecting hand upon them as they travel home, especially any found under the sound of her voice tonight that's not yet saved. We just pray that thou would protect them and keep them. And now as the preacher's voice would fall silent, we just ask indeed that that still small voice of God would continue to speak on, and that we might even hear of salvation blessing in this place as a result of the preaching of the gospel tonight. For we do indeed ask it in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen.